is Cascadia Public Radio.
Aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Monday, March 12th, 2012, start of a brand new week, start of our daylight savings time, which I guess if you're listening to me, you obviously remember to set your clocks ahead, so forth and so on. Our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Dan the Man is in the control room twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer your phone calls. A little bit of a programming note. Tomorrow, Ryan Dawson will be joining us as our on-air guest to talk about all sorts of crazy things going on around the world, from Greece and Fukushima. There's been some new developments over there, and so we're looking forward to having Ryan on the show tomorrow. Anyway, every time I look at this daylight savings time, I remember I was living in California the year they tried to make it go year-round. Somebody in Congress said, well, if it works so well at maximizing our evening time, let's do it year-round. And, of course, that wound up with school children going to school in the dark during the winter months, which didn't work out very well, and they dropped that. I'm not entirely sure this whole idea of daylight savings time is really all that legitimate. There's a Native American saying, only the government would believe that you could cut a foot off the top of a blanket, sew it on the bottom, and have a longer blanket. And the only reason we have to go through this whole rigmarole of daylight savings time, before clocks came along, before ship's navigation and things like octants and sextants, you got up with the sun. And when the sun went down, you basically called it a day. And, you know, if you had torches or candles or whatnot, you could stay up a little bit later into the evening. But everybody's cycle was based on sunrise and sunset. Well, ships at sea, measuring sunrise, sunset really is kind of a complex situation based on time of the year for purposes of navigation. So instead, they would do the noon sighting. They'd be out there with a sextant looking for the sun to reach its highest point. They would call noon, and they would do their navigation updates based on that. So as clocks came along, you know, precision clocks were developed for ease of navigation, and the whole flywheel escapement was invented specifically for shipboard clocks. I think the guy's name was Harrelson invented those for longitudinal navigation. And so the entire world basically got onto this idea of noon, the sun, high point in the sky, being the center of all time. And ever since then, there's been this contest between when does the sun come up and how do we get longer evenings. And they've come up with this bizarre daylight savings time, along with all this time zones. I think if we're going to disconnect from sunrise and sunset anyway, we might want to think about giving up this whole idea of 24 time zones around the world and just have four. And that would simplify intercontinental commerce. You're not always on there with your little chart, you know, what time zone is this and who's using daylight savings time, because Arizona and Hawaii don't do daylight savings time. And so this time of year, everybody's trying to say, what are we supposed to do now? And of course, relative to Hawaii time, I'm doing my show an hour earlier in the day in order to accommodate the shift to daylight savings time on the mainland. It's all very confusing, and it's the result of politics more than anything else. It's not even really based in science anymore. So I don't know. I think when I am Emperor Mike the First, we're going to have four time zones on planet Earth, and I think that's going to – and no more daylight savings time, obviously. I think that'll simplify our lives tremendously. All righty. Moving right along here, sort of a milestone passed over the weekend. I wasn't really going to talk about it on the show, but it got a lot of attention on the net, and I got a lot of emails for it. Yesterday was the 18th birthday of my blog, which is now whatreallyhappened.com, and it started 18 years ago yesterday with a single photograph regarding the death of White House Deputy Counsel Vincent Foster as a subpage on what was at that time a web page advertising my visual effects and animation work in Hollywood, and it's sort of grown and ultimately took over my entire life. So yesterday I became old enough to be drafted for war. It's still not old enough to drink in most states. But we had a little Twinkie with a candle on it, and that now passes into history. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And in response to a listener email, yes, I myself personally am a little bit older than 18. We're only talking about the website, the blog. I was actually doing it before the word was even invented. And it's occupied almost one-third of my entire life now. And boy, that's going to make you feel old. Anyway, moving right along here to more serious things. Over in Europe, with the situation in Greece is kind of bizarre. As you probably remember on Friday, the International Securities and Derivatives Association, which is made up of members of the banks that sell these credit default swaps, declared a credit event triggering some $3 billion directly in credit default swaps and probably all kinds of cascading effects. And as I said on Friday's show, we really don't know where this could potentially go. Well, over the weekend, the ISDA kind of backed up and declared a non-default default, saying there is no credit event, there are no triggering of the credit default swaps. It's only a 74% write-down, so we're calling it a haircut, which is a bizarre word to use, but it's not a default, and therefore the credit default swaps will not be activated. In other words, the ISDA is screwing the people who bought those credit default swaps in order to protect the banks that were selling those credit default swaps. And it may be a short-term fix to prevent a runaway cascade run on the bank. But at this point, from now on, from this day forward, only an idiot is ever going to buy a credit default swap because they're completely discredited. They will not pay off when you suffer a loss. Now, credit default swaps are not sold only to cover the situation of an absolute complete collapse. They're basically sold if you are not getting back the money that you are owed in any degree. And a 74% write-down not being declared a credit default swap, that's absolute nonsense. American stock markets are kind of holding at a break-even point. They've been up and down all day, but, you know, nothing really dramatic underway. And it seems to me like the situation is being controlled and managed. In other words, they're breaking the rules just to protect their own fortunes at the expense of the Greek people and the purchasers of the credit default swaps and everybody else in the stock market. And here's really where they've made a strategic mistake with Greece. The European Union has come in and said, you've got to cancel all these public programs, you've got to put all these people out of work, and you've got to raise taxes and pay us back all the money, which we created out of thin air to loan to you in the first place. And so we basically have a situation where Greece is officially broke. They've got greater than 50% youth unemployment. They've got about 20-some-odd percent adult unemployment. In other words, two-thirds of people are out of work right now. And so you have to wonder at the kind of boneheaded governmental policy that decides they're going to try and pay down all this debt by putting two-thirds of the taxpayers out of work. But I guess we shouldn't point fingers, because that's exactly what the U.S. federal government did in this country following the crash of 2008. They actually amped up those tax incentives to allow companies, to encourage companies, to send the high-paying manufacturing jobs to other countries. It started under Bush. According to the Hackett Group, it's accelerated under Obama. And what it did was it set the stage for this runaway foreclosure firestorm across America, because people were lured into these mortgages with that $8,000 first-time home buyer credit, which actually is a loan because they take it back from other taxes down the road. Then they move the high-paying jobs to other countries, and the American homeowners are stuck. They're just ripe for plucking by the banks, because that monthly payment that you make is of no use to the bankers at all. It's nowhere near enough to get them out of this mess they got into with the mortgage-backed security fraud. They need the entire value of the homes on their books to stay technically solvent. And that's what triggered this whole foreclosure firestorm situation, and now Obama's trying to cover it up with the foreclosure settlement. And it's just spread all around the world, the dark side of globalism. Well, to add insult to injury, Greece is now paying the highest gas prices in Europe, the equivalent of $9 a gallon. So, yeah, let's just kick them while they're down. I mean, Goldman Sachs screwed them in partnership with Papandreou, and now the oil company is going to say, yeah, let's just pour more salt on the wound here, and we'll charge them the equivalent of $9 a gallon for gasoline. So they can't go to work, even if they have a job. Talk about kicking them when they're down. And this is, again, this is more money junkie thinking. More money junkie thinking. By the way, for those of you in Europe, you might want to have a heads up. They're trying this new plan in Great Britain where they're going to have closed-circuit TV cameras at all the petrol stations, gas stations. And what they will do, when you pull up to the pump, they will scan your license plate and run it against a database of insured motorists, motorists who have paid their little protection money to the protection racket. If you are not on the list of having paid your protection money to that little protection racket called insurance, the gas pump will be locked and you will not be able to fuel your car. Now you know why my ancestors kicked out your ancestors 200 years ago. That kind of thinking is what got them into trouble here. So basically the idea is, again, the whole attitude of the government is you got to give, you got to give, you got to give, and we're sorry if you don't have a job. That's not our problem. It's not our problem to make sure you actually are able to earn the money to pay all these bills. Our job is just to make sure that you pay the bills. And when you run out of money and you're homeless, well, that's not our problem either. By the way, a little developing story here in Hawaii. We're going to be shooting a documentary on this next month. It's a local story, but with national implications. There is a charity group here on the island that is doing food baskets for school children. And they're doing it because what they're finding out is, you know, for all the talk about how many families are on food stamps right now, they can't, with the rising food prices, the food stamps don't get them through the entire month. They're running out about two-thirds of the month. The food stamps run out. And so a local group is collecting food to give to the kids at school to take home, because otherwise they don't eat for like the last 7 to 10 days of the month, because the food stamps have simply run out. So when they talk about how many American families are on food stamps, it's not enough. It's inadequate assistance, and it's huge and it's epidemic. But we've got plenty of money to send weapons over to Israel to use on the Palestinians. More on that a little bit later here. Now, obviously, the big story in the news over the weekend, and I'm still not sure if this is really just an accident or if this is intended to provoke a confrontation with the Taliban so that the U.S. can renege on its deal to leave Afghanistan. But there was a U.S. soldier went on a shooting spree, killed 16 civilians and 9 children shot dead in the streets in their homes. Now, witnesses are saying it was multiple soldiers. The U.S. government is saying, no, it's only one crazed lone nut assassin, and I guess he just got tired of working at that bookstore on Dealey Plaza and started shooting at people. Personally, given that Afghanistan has never told us a whopper like Saddam has nuclear weapons, I tend to take their version of the story with a great deal more credibility than anything coming out of the U.S. government. But the story keeps changing. Originally, they were saying the crazed lone gunman had a nervous breakdown. Then they were saying he's drunk. Even Reuters was reporting initially that it was multiple shooters. But now they're trying to change the story, and that makes me wonder, is this really just a random lone shooting, or was some special operations guy told to go out and commit an atrocity to provoke a Taliban reaction in order to allow the United States to basically renege on the deal of leaving Afghanistan in 2014? Remember, the government's promising you total pullout, your troops are coming home. Well, gee, we can't do that now. The situation has deteriorated. By the way, they were going to cheat on that anyway. Because in 2014, any U.S. troops that were still in Afghanistan were going to be transferred to the control of the CIA and given some other kind of a name. No, no, no. Those are not combat troops. Those are intelligence gatherers in force, or whatever name they were going to use. But it's basically the U.S. government is lying to you again about pulling the troops out of all these places they've conquered. They're leaving garrisons in place. It's like the ancient Roman Empire. Conquer a land, leave a Roman garrison. Put them to work building roads and wineries. The diplomats in Kabul are already talking about kicking out the United States completely. That is never going to happen. I think what's going to go on is the U.S. is hoping the Taliban is going to retaliate for these murdered children and frankly, couldn't blame him for doing it, and then use that as an excuse to escalate back into Afghanistan. Because remember, looking at the map of that part of the world, there are two land routes Russia can use to support Iran in the coming war. One is down through that land bridge between the Baltic and the Black Sea, I'm sorry, the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea, through what is now Russian Georgia. And the other one is through Afghanistan. And Afghanistan kicks out the American forces, then Russia will have an unimpeded path for convoys to come down and into Iran. And the U.S. is never going to allow that. So the longer they have to delay the invasion of Iran, the more they got to look for a way to keep control over Afghanistan's territory. This may be the beginning of it. This may be the beginning of it. Meanwhile, over in Yemen, yeah, you forgot, we're killing people over there too. Apparently, drone strikes have killed 64 in Yemen in the last 3 days. The inevitable U.S. government announcement is, we killed a bunch of terrorists. And the people on the ground are saying, you just killed my family. These are civilians. These are non-combatants. And the U.S. attitude is, well, it's worth killing 100 civilians if we get one terror suspect. And again, the emphasis is on the word suspect, because these people who are being targeted, there's no proof they've done anything. It's just accusation. Ah, yes, we think they don't like us. Boom. And from the point of view of the people on the ground, if a whole bunch of civilians get blown up by somebody wearing an explosive vest or somebody half a planet away with a joystick flying a robotic drone with missiles on it, it's still the same on the ground. It's an act of terror. And all the high tech in the world cannot obscure that fact. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. The panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And finishing up our news from the U.S. Army, the sweetest smelling army in the world. They are unveiling their new non-lethal heat ray weapon. And direct quote from the story. A sensation of unbearable sudden heat seems to come out of nowhere. This wave, a strong electromagnetic beam, is the latest non-lethal weapon unveiled by the U.S. military this week. Now, there is another name for intentionally causing excruciating pain without intending to kill the subject. It's called torture. These are torture devices on wheels to basically flog the slaves back into their slave pens without the operator having blood splatter all over him from the cat of eight tails, because it's getting old and worn out. That's basically what they're talking about. They're talking about deploying torture by remote control. That's exactly what these things are. Hitler would have loved this thing. And what it basically is, it's a giant open-air microwave oven. Remember when you get your microwave oven, and when you unpack it, there's this little notice in there, be very careful that the door seal does not get harmed, because microwaves can leak out and cause all kinds of harm to you. Well, that's what this heat ray weapon is. It basically, the radio waves boil the water in your skin, and that's what causes the pain. They're basically putting you in a microwave oven. Oh, my goodness, the Fourth Reich would love that. They put those protesters in the oven, yeah? We put them in the oven, we burn the skin right off of them, and shows them who is master. That's where the mentality of the federal government and the U.S. Army is going. This is a portable torture device. It's right out of science fiction. We don't even have to touch you. We can stand a quarter of a mile away from you and just put you in excruciating pain. Or if you're a Harry Potter fan, the Cruciatus Curse. That's what this is. It is a torture device on wheels. It's the Spanish Inquisition with all the modern improvements. And what it says about the character of our nation's government and military reveals a very, very great deal. Now, over in Israel, apparently Benjamin Netanyahu is very unhappy that he was not able to talk Barack Obama into going in and murdering Iranians for him. So Netanyahu's throwing a tantrum, and he started murdering Palestinians. Israel has attacked Gaza. It's been going on for 4 days. Israel started it. Let us be very, very clear about that. Israel just launched an unprovoked attack into Gaza, same thing they did November 4th, 2008, hiding behind the American elections in the media. And the American media is still trying to imply that somehow Gaza started this, is saying, well, Gaza's fired hundreds of rockets into Israel. Yeah, Israel's attacking them. When you get attacked, you shoot back. So they've been going at this for about 4 days of Netanyahu's tantrum. You know, I can't kill the Iranians, so I'm going to kill the people I've got completely helpless, because after all, that's why I made them helpless. So I can go in and kill them whenever I feel like it. And a little reminder, the reason the American media is trying to sell you the idea that somehow Gaza did something to deserve this is because, remember, the U.S. Senate did an investigation and found that Israel openly bribes the prostitutes of the American corporate media. They've been doing it for decades, and when the Senate came to this conclusion, they classified the report. It's been classified for something like 20 years. It was only recently declassified. The U.S. government has known all along that Israel is literally bribing the American media to always report the news in a way that favors Israel, which is why even right now they're sort of saying, well, whatever Israel's doing to Gaza, we're sure Gaza did something to deserve it. They were thinking bad thoughts. How dare they not love Israel? That's grounds for bombing right there, that you don't like them. Well, maybe Palestine doesn't like Israel because Israel keeps bombing them. It's hard to like somebody when they're dropping bombs on you, especially when they're killing your kids. Okay? Now, we're getting, again, more and more confirmation that Israel is attacking and killing these Palestinians in Gaza using weapons supplied by the United States government at great expense to the American taxpayer. That is you. Which gets us back to that whole thing about food stamps running out two-thirds of the month through. So the U.S. government is complicit in this unprovoked attack against Gaza. Their accessories, by virtue of providing all the weapons. Remember, here in the United States of America, all the gun grabbers are always saying, well, the gun manufacturers, they have to bear the blame for the crimes committed by the guns. Well, if that's true, if you accept that principle, then the U.S. government and every American taxpayer bears the guilt and the blame for all the war crimes that Israel's committing against everybody around them. And if you have not read it, there's an article I put up on whatreallyhappened.com. I wrote it a little while ago, and it got a really good response around the world, and it's called Killing the Family of Jesus. And basically reminds everybody that those people wandering around Palestine today, whose families have been in that part of the world for the last 2,000 years, they are, in all probability, distant blood relations of the historical Jesus Christ. And Israel's killing them, and you're being forced to pay for it. And so it doesn't matter how much change you throw in that little collection plate. You think you're going to get into heaven? Because, you know, the boss knows how to carry a grudge. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're still talking about the Mideast. We're talking about Israel's four-day attack into Gaza. And interestingly enough, little aspect of this thing, I know I've already told you many, many times that it is illegal under U.S. law to give your money to Israel as long as they have nuclear weapons technology but refuse to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty or accept IAEA inspections. Now, there's another aspect of that same law, okay, the Foreign Assistance Act or the Foreign Appropriations Act from 1961, which is the legal foundation for the government to take your money and give it to whoever they like around the world, mostly Israel. Okay, because there's a provision in that act. This is U.S. law. No security assistance may be provided to any country, the government of which engages in a consistent pattern of gross violations of internationally recognized human rights. A starvation blockade is a war crime and a crime against humanity. And so once again, we see the government of the United States of America breaking U.S. law to take your money and give it to Israel. Now, it's one thing for the American people to say, well, you know, I need to follow and obey the laws because society must have some structure. But when you realize that laws are only for you serfs, for you slaves, and the U.S. government just constantly breaks the law, ignores the Constitution, even breaks its own laws it passed by Congress signed by a president in order to go on with its lies and its corruptions, you come to a point where you have to say, why am I allowing myself to be constrained and enslaved by these laws, which are just, they're pieces of paper. They're pieces of paper. They're as arbitrary as any religious or economic doctrine. It is simply the rules that coerce us or trick us into serving the power structure. And we accept a nation under the rule of law on the basic premise that law applies to everybody equally. That the president is as constrained by the law of the land as we, the ordinary, the taxi drivers, the bloggers, the talk show radio hosts, the doctors and the lawyers and everybody else. And now we find out again, over and over again, that when it comes to Israel, the U.S. government breaks its own laws to go on taking money from you and giving it to Israel. Let me give you that one more time. This is from the Foreign Assistance Acts of 1961. Quote, no security assistance may be provided to any country, the government of which engages in a consistent pattern of gross violations of internationally recognized human rights, end quote. Israel murdered a U.S. citizen in international waters who was trying to bring medical aid to the people of Gaza. And the U.S. government never criticized Israel. Went up to the U.N., said, it's okay, Israel can kill all the American citizens they want. We don't mind. The U.S. government tried to block the U.N.'s final report on that aid flotilla massacre. Whose side is the government on? Remember what Bush was saying before, with kind of a draconian statement, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Well, I got one to go back to you. You're either for the American people or you're for Israel, and you can't be both. Not when you're breaking U.S. law to use Americans' tax money to support Israel's war crimes. So you, for those of you who are in office or considering running for office, you'd better make a choice who you're working for. There's no such thing as a dual citizen. There's no such thing as dual loyalty. No government can serve two masters. And if you want to be the government of the United States of America, you'd better start working for the people of the United States of America, and you'd better start obeying the laws of the United States of America, which say do not take our money and give it to Israel until Israel starts acting like a modern civilized nation. And beyond that, of course, if you want the job of being in the government of the United States of America, you start paying attention to that Constitution. Because that is the original contract with America. And you cannot ignore it and bypass it and pretend that there's a weasel word around it. So both with the Symington Amendment, the Glenn Act, and now the Foreign Appropriations Act, all of these laws are being violated by the U.S. government in order to take money from you and give it to their masters in Tel Aviv. Israel has cost the American taxpayer four times the entire cost of the Apollo moon program. And we have not yet achieved a giant leap for mankind for all that money being spent. Quite the contrary, we seem to be being dragged backwards in time to the days of Old Testament kingdoms smiting each other, only with nuclear weapons. What did we get for all that money that we have given to Israel, been forced to give to Israel? Well, we got 34 Americans murdered by Israel on the USS Liberty. We got that 19-year-old kid from New York I was just talking about, murdered by Israel in international waters because he wanted to take cookies into Gaza. And by the way, when I was researching this list, I found out there have been a lot more Americans killed by Israel that were never even reported in the American media. They just don't rate. We have a link to that on whatreallyhappened.com where you can go look at some of those stories. We've got overt bribery and control of the U.S. media by Israel. They use our own money against us. They use our own. They get all this money from the U.S. Congress. They shuffle it back through into the United States of America. It goes into AIPAC. What does AIPAC do? They bribe Congress to send more money to Israel. It's a kickback scheme. It's a gigantic kickback scheme is what it is. That's what we get for all the money that is taken from us and given to Israel. We also get the 9/11 dancing Israelis who were cheering as those World Trade Towers came crumbling down and were later revealed to be Mossad agents. We also have that Israeli spy ring, the largest spy ring ever uncovered in U.S. history, run by Israel, spying on our communications, spying on our telephone bills. The Zoom copter kiosks in the malls, the art students at all the federal buildings, that kind of stuff. The AIPAC spy ring and how amazingly they got off the hook on that one. Jonathan Pollard. And they're trying to get him out of jail right now. That man should have been shot. He stole and gave to Israel secrets that compromised this nation's nuclear deterrent. Israel then turned around and gave those secrets to the Soviet Union, our worst enemy, in exchange for increased immigration quotas for Jews leaving the Soviet Union going to Israel. Had the Soviet Union and the United States gotten into a nuclear war at that point, the Soviet Union would have won. That is the true scale of Jonathan Pollard's crime. The Levon affair, back in the 1950s, Israeli agents bombing U.S. and British assets in Egypt, planting evidence to frame the Egyptians. That's what we get for all that money that's taken from your pocket and given to Israel. Tricked into bombing Libya, according to Victor Ostrovsky, a retired Mossad agent who now lives here in the United States of America. Mossad smuggled a radio transmitter into Tripoli and started broadcasting fake messages, trying to pretend that Gaddafi was ordering terror attacks all around the world, and it tricked Reagan into bombing Libya. And they specifically targeted Gaddafi. They missed him, but they did manage to bomb his five-year-old daughter into bloody bits. That was another dirty trick that we got from Israel in exchange for all that money that goes from our pockets to them. The Berlin disco bombing, blamed on terrorists, was traced back to Mossad. According to British intelligence sources, Israel actually set up the hijacking that led to the raid on Entebbe, and they did it specifically to demonize Palestine in the world media at a time when people were starting to ask, why can't there be a two-state solution? And any time the world starts asking, why can't we have that two-state solution that the United Nations proposed all the way back 60 years ago, there's always some kind of a staged terror attack to make the Palestinians look bad, like they don't deserve their own country. And it goes on and on and on, and that is what we have received for all the money taken from your pocket and given to Israel in violation of the Foreign Assistance Act, the Symington Amendment to the Foreign Assistance Act, and the Glenn Act. This is all illegal. These are crimes committed by the federal government of the United States of America against the people of the United States. They're taking your money under false pretenses in violation of U.S. law, and they're just giving it away to their buddies. All righty. Let's see. Getting back here to the domestic situation. Ron Paul actually finally won a caucus by an uncontested popular vote in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And he won it because this was a case where the entire caucus was counted publicly in full view of witnesses. And he won rather handily, but somehow or other, the corporate media is still giving Romney the victory. Because of some kind of post-caucus shuffling, Romney wound up with more of the delegates. And so he was declared the winner. And it's just, again, it's another indication of how the corporate media is absolutely dedicated to the idea that Ron Paul will not be allowed anywhere near the nomination. It's all going to be thrown to Romney. Clear Channel's board of directors are all heavy donors to Mitt Romney. I'm not surprised because Bain Capital, Mitt Romney's former cash cow, owns Clear Channel. It's a very incestuous relationship there. Now, Ron Paul is finally beginning to publicly acknowledge that he is the victim of massive election fraud, and he's still trying to be very gentlemanly about it and good-humored about it, but I think it reached the point where so many of his followers were saying, look, you have to acknowledge what's going on, and Ron Paul saying, yeah, it is. There's massive vote fraud going on, and it's funny. All these problems that seem to be showing up around the Ron Paul votes, they don't seem to be happening to the other candidates. So he's starting to basically test the ice, as it were, and venture on out there. And I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. The corporate media is going to absolutely pound on Ron Paul for being a kook and a sore loser, and how dare he challenge the faith and validity of the American election system. You watch that. They are not going to give him any ear at all on this thing. All right, we're going to grab a couple of phone calls. George in Texas. Aloha, George. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mike? I hope your weekend was good.
Yes, it was. Well, it was wet and windy. We had tornadoes in Kailua and Lanikai that ripped up a couple of houses, and we had literally palm-sized hail on Kauai and here on Oahu, and it was just insane weather.
Well, you know, the thing is, you know the Coney scam? You know, this
Yes. Sounds
like back in the 80s where they had a Band-Aid, do you know it's Christmas, and We Are the World by USA for Africa and Live Aid. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, every time it's with Africa, it's a big scam. And you know, the thing is, my heart sank when I found out. I mean, I gave money, I bought all the albums and all that stuff. And you know, and it's just thing as I found out all that money we raised back in the 80s, it didn't go to feed one starving African. It went to feed a bunch of communist rebels in Ethiopia. And you know, and it's just mm-hmm. with Somalia, we have to go in there. We have to stop the warlords from stealing the food shipments. And it was sort of other ulterior motive. Then we hear about this Coney, just like Osama bin Laden. He might have been dead for years. And, you know, this well-crafted Hollywood stunt, you know, trying to say, oh, we gotta stop Coney. I mean, it's just a big scam, one after the other, you know, to justify a globalist agenda.
Well, you know, I was kind of wondering when I started to see this whole Coney thing show up, and it just seemed too slick and too professional and too much PR about it. But I kept wondering if this was the real reason that all of these internet cables into Africa were being severed. Because it turned out, in addition to that one ship that dragged its anchor across the cable, and by the way, they still won't name what that ship was or what its home port was, but it turned out there were like three other cables that had been cut, quote-unquote, by accident at the same time going into that part of Africa. So it looked to me like somebody was trying to really kick off, oh, those glorious African people are fighting against tyranny, and we've got to go in and help them. And it seemed like more of that. That is a part of the world that still has a lot of undeveloped natural resources, and the transnational corporations, they're desperate to get their hands on them before those gosh darn indigenous people just use them all up for themselves.
No, it's just, you know, the thing is, I'm trying to, like, go back, like, all the scams and all that stuff, and some people just, like, they refuse to believe that they've been conned. I mean,
yeah, I know. Well, I mean, that's why religion has survived for as long as it has. Once people get sucked into a belief system, they don't want to admit to themselves they were made a complete fool of.
Just like when they had a tsunami in Sri Lanka and Thailand and all that. It's like, I wouldn't give one dime because I knew it wouldn't get where it was supposed to go.
Yeah, it's a big, big problem. Even here in the United States of America, there are a lot of these charities that go on TV with commercials with suffering animals in the cages and, you know, and all the rest of it. And you come to find out, well, like there was that scandal where PETA is actually euthanizing something like the overwhelming majority of animals given to it to take care of. They just go and suffocate them. Well, and, you know, the money goes someplace else. It goes to administrative costs.
Well, even like with the Haiti earthquake, I mean, we had a bunch of refugees, a school orphanage brought up here. I mean, I just walked up directly and gave my money to them. I did not send it where I know any. I don't know where it's going to go.
Well, we know the people on the ground in Haiti. I mean, we had all those ex-presidents who stood up and said, we're going to have a fundraiser for Haiti. The Haitians never actually got the money. Where it went, we're still not entirely sure. It, you know, probably went to bribe government officials in Haiti, but the Haitian people themselves did not get it.
But even like the 9/11, where Red Cross got us money, we don't know where that money went either.
Oh, the Red Cross has got a lot of scandals about their fundraising and what they do with the money. And if we had time, I'd get into this whole blood donations, what they call the exchange rate. Because I have a very rare blood type, and I have a real ugly story about happened, when I was born, where the Red Cross had been willingly taking donations from my mother, but then they came back and they said, well, the blood type you need for your baby, you know, we exchanged that. It's 30-1, and you don't have enough. And was like, what? You know, all these years I've been donating, and now that I need, you get out the bookkeeping and saying, no, you can't have? It was just a very absurd thing. All right, George, all right, we're going to let you finish out this segment, and we're going to hold Arthur into the to the segment after this coming break. Anything else, George?
Well, I'm just saying, beware Coney scam, and the thing is, I wouldn't give anything if I don't see the money where it's going. We got enough problems here. We got enough starving children.
This is the age of the scam. That's exactly right. We've got starving kids right here in America. We should be taking care of them, which is what this group I'm talking about is trying to do, because the government assistance isn't meeting their needs. It's
yes.
Just all for show, and this is the age of the scam. Even the government's scamming us. It's a government of the scammers, by the scammers, and for the scammers, and that's why scammers are never prosecuted or arrested. You know, but by golly, they'll get you for smoking a marijuana cigarette.
Well, charity blank starts at home. Thank you, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot there. Okay, we're coming down to the end of this segment. We're coming up on a commercial break here. We're going to hold off on Arthur till the next segment here. And we're also going to be talking later on the show about up at the New York Police Department, this kind of a weird dichotomy between their priorities that is illustrated by two stories we're going to be talking about. So we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with Arthur in Georgia after these words from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, last segment of hour number one of our program here. And just a quick reminder, if you are able and willing to help Republic Broadcasting stand up to the big TV networks, big radio stations, big newspapers, the donations phone number is 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Or you can go to republicbroadcasting.org. And right there at the top of the page, you'll see a little button you can push to go in to donate by mail or any of the various other methods they have set up for you. But again, the only way we will get the big money corruption out of media and out of government is for the little money to all unite together in the common cause of truth and restoration of the republic here. So we're going to go back to the phones. Arthur in Georgia. Aloha, Arthur. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I'll make this real quick so you can wrap everything up. I'm a firm believer in giving credit where credit is due. And so when we talk about the atrocities committed by Israel, we can't forget last year when Russia said that they were going to that they were set to recognize Palestine, and lo and behold, shortly thereafter, we ended up with the Moscow airport bombing. Now,
yes.
Like I said, I believe in giving credit where credit is due. And when you want to talk about major overall screw jobs, you've got to give Israel credit because basically they have screwed everyone, everywhere around this entire planet, in every country, and they've gotten away with it. Now you want
including to themselves, potentially.
So let's give credit where credit's due. They're real good at screwing people.
That's exactly right. And remember what I've said many times on this show. All power is the willingness to do those things everybody else around you is not. That's all power is, and Israel absolutely believes that. I just put up a link to this controversy. This rabbi in Israel is basically citing their religious law as saying it's okay to kill non-Jews because they might be evil. They're uncompassionate. Oh, boy, look who's talking. And, yeah, it really is. They're still trying to conduct their affairs as if they're an Old Testament kingdom right out of the Torah, and that is hopelessly out of touch with life in the 21st century, especially the nuclear age. And ultimately, I think Israel is going to lose their support. They've got a stranglehold on the media, on pretty much the entire West. And you're absolutely right. Anytime a country shows any sympathy or concern for what's going on in Palestine, there's immediately a terrorist attack that's blamed on Palestine inside their border. The one in India, the bombing in India. India is talking about trade with Iran. There's a terror attack. Oh, Iran must have done it. Why would Iran do that? Why would Iran go out and commit terror attacks against the countries that are trading with it and supporting it? It doesn't make any sense if you think about it, and yet the same game is played on and on and on because Israel is confident that as long as they go on bribing the prostitutes in the American media, the American people will never stop and think for themselves whether the stories make sense. Of course, that's not realistic either. That is also, I think, hopelessly out of touch with the realities of the 21st century. Okay? Oh, okay, we're going to take a break for a station break. We'll be back with more phone calls after station identification. We'll be right back.